22A1. We are starting 2, 4, 6 lines on the top of the page. Okay, the Gemara is speaking here about an Eved Ivri that works for 6 years. After 6 years he comes along and says, I want to stay here. I love my wife, I love my kids, I love my master, I love everybody. I want to stay. So he pierced his ears, bore his ears, and he stays until Yovel. So now the Gemara is discussing the details of that din. Katzan Rabbanan learned like this. It says in the Pasuk, Omer Yoimer HaEved. Now, many times the Torah repeats itself. And obviously there's a reason why the Torah repeats itself. Okay? So it says, Im Omer Yoimer HaEved. If the Eved will say, but the Torah doesn't say, Im Yoimer HaEved, which would be sufficient. The Torah says a double expression, Omer Yoimer HaEved. But teaches us, Atche Yoimer V'yishne, he has to say it at least twice. It's not enough that he says it once, I want to stay. He needs to say it twice. And the Me'idi brings out the bottom. The Me'idi explains why. Because we want to make sure he's not making a quick, impulsive decision. He needs to say it with seichel, you know, a proper, not in haste. It is deliberate decision and a proper decision. Okay. Then it says, Amr b'tchila shesh. And this, Gemara is going to explain later exactly what it means. If he says at the beginning of the six, this is simply what it means. If he said at the beginning of the 6 years, v'le'yomer b'seif shesh, and he didn't say the statement that he wants to stay at the end of the 6, ain't a nirtzi, he doesn't get pierced. Why? Shenamar, because it says, le'eitei chofshi, I don't want to go out free, I want to stay in Eved. It teaches us, at sheyemer b'shas yisiyah, he needs to say it at the time he leaves. Therefore, the Gemara says, the Braisa says, what happens if he said it, and again, this is what it means now. The Gemara is going to change it. What happens at the beginning, now the guy works for 6 years, right? What happens at the beginning of the 6 years, he says, oh, I love this place, I'm going to stay longer. No good.
No good.
That's if he didn't say it at the end again. Why? Because the Torah says, he has to say, I don't want to go out free.
Twice.
Yeah, but one second. But he has to say, I don't want to go out free.
Uh-huh.
He can't say it at the beginning of the 6 years. He has 6 years to work yet. Okay, what happens? Amar b'seif sheish. What happens if he says it at the end of the 6 years? But le'amar b'tchila sheish, he didn't say it at the beginning of the 6th year. Again, this is what the Gemara thinks it means now. Ein and nirtzi, he also doesn't get pierced. Why? Shenamad im amar yoimer ha'eved, meaning, if the Eved says, he has to say, Kshuhu Eved. Meaning, what happens if the 6 years is up? Now, the second the 6 years is up, he's free.
Yeah.
The Torah says, what happens if the Eved says, I want to stay longer? Meaning, the way the Braisa says, what happens if he said it a minute after the 6 years are up? After the 6 years are up, he says, oh, by the way, it's too late. Because the Torah says, if the Eved says he wants to stay, but if he's not an Eved anymore, then he can't say.
Can he another stand to somebody else?
No.
No?
No.
He's not an Eved because his time is free.
He's free already.
Shenama,
because it says, Im Omer Yemer Ha'Eved. The Eved has to say it. Achi Yemek Shu Eved, he has to say it while he's an Eved. So therefore the Gemara says like this. An Eved has to say it twice. Okay, and the Gemara again is going to explain what this means. Okay, but the Eved has to say it twice, I want to stay longer as an Eved. If he says it at the beginning of the 6 years, but not at the end of the 6 years, he cannot stay longer. If he says it at the end and not at the beginning, he also can't stay longer. Then the Gemara says, Amar Mar, we just got through saying in the Braise, Amar Betchilas Sheish. If he says it at the beginning of the 6 year term, that I want to stay. But he doesn't say it at the end of the 6 years. He cannot get to, the pierced. Shenama, because it says, huh? I don't want to go out free. Which means he has to be holding by a place where he wants to go, where he's able to go out free. If it's the beginning of the 6 years, he can't go out free yet. So the Gemara says, why do you say because of the pasuk le'etzei chofshi? Typically, there's another reason. Why? Because he says, right now, right, what does wife mean? the wife that the master gives him. But before if he's starting the Avdus, he doesn't have a wife yet that the master gave him. So how can he say, I love my wife? In other words, why are you learning it from the Pasuk, Le'etze Chofshi? That I don't want to go out free. Learn because of a different reason. The guy says, I have a wife. If he doesn't have a wife, he can't stay. So the Gemara says, so another question like this. We said in the Braisa statement, Amar b'seif sheish. If at the end of the 6 years he says, I don't want to go, I want to stay, v'loi Amar b'tchila sheish. And he didn't say at the beginning of the 6 years, Ein and Nirtzi doesn't go out free. I mean, he doesn't get pierced. Why? Because it says, Amar yomer ha'eved, right? So Gemara says, Atu seif sheish lav'evedu. In other words, when you say, and here the Gemara again is discussing, what does it mean, the end of the 6 years? At the end of the 6 years means it didn't finish the 6 years yet. Yeah. The Gemara said before, at the end of the 6 years, he can't stay, because it's not in Eved anymore. But the Gemara said, that's not what the word at the end of the 6 years means. At the end of the 6 years means before the 6 year term is up. So he's still in Eved. So why can't he say, Ohavtiv Sadeini Vasishni? Rava said like this. My betchila sheish, he says like this, beginning and end doesn't mean the beginning of the 6 years and the end of the 6 years. Because at the beginning, it's ridiculous for him to say, I want to stay longer. He didn't even start yet. Right? What it means is like this. Betchilas pruta achreina, at the beginning of the last pruta's worth of service. And besof means at the end of the pruta's service. Meaning like this. The last peruta means, we learned before that an Eved, if he wants to go out free, could redeem himself. Right? You can't redeem yourself less than a penny, a peruta, because it's not money. Right? That means like this. The last leg of his service is the last peruta's worth of work. Because then he's still redeemable. Less than a pruta, let's say, for argument's sake, a pruta is in those days a pruta is worth money. Let's say a pruta is an hour's worth of work. Whatever. Today's question, if a pruta is a penny, by the way. Because it's pushed not. It's not nothing. Okay, so let's say the last hour's, we use the word pruta. Let's say the last hour's worth of work is a pruta. So Gemara says like this. Betchila sheish means at the beginning of the last hour. Besof sheish means at the end of the last hour. Until now, the Gemara thought means the beginning of the 6 years and the end of the 6 years. Gemara says that's not what it means. It can't mean that. In other words, he has to say it twice. Im omer yomer ha'eved. The Gemara just said before, he needs to say it twice. Once at the beginning, once at the end. But Rav explains, what does beginning and end mean? Beginning of the last hour and the end of the last hour. So he's still a slave. But within that hour, from the time the hour begins until the last second of the hour, he has to say it twice. Then he could be pierced and he could stay longer. Otherwise not. What?
You could suggest the beginning of the sixth year and the end, or toward the end of the sixth year. January 1st of the year number 6.
What the last day? What last hour? Who knows what the last hour is?
No, the last pruta's worth of work. Listen.
You give me 6 years. The last thing, right?
Let's say, for argument's sake, he sold for 6 years for $600. Right? That means it's $100 a year. Figure out how many hours in the year and figure out how much each hour is worth. It might not be an hour. It might be 5 hours. I don't know.
How would you know that when the 6 year end term ends?
6 years to date from the time he starts. If he starts January 1st, let's say, well, we're talking about Yiddish months, but then December 31st, it's finished.
I guess the documents, but the master and the Eved have documents.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that means by midnight, he has to declare his attention, right?
Right.
He wants to stay in now before midnight.
Right. In other words, he needs to say it while he's still an Eved. Uh-huh. And the Gemara is learning now, the last hour, he's not really a full Eved because there's no Prutas worth. Mm-hmm. So he has to say before the first, the last hour, and at the end of, huh?
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock. A minute to 11, and then at the end, 11:59. Then he's able to be a Nirt. See, that's so simple. The guy, you know, you learn the Chumash. Okay, the guy says, I want to stay longer. It's not so simple. There had to be certain criteria met. If not, then he can't do it. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Tan Rabban Rabban Anurt. It says like this. Vim Alma Yemer Aved. Right? Aftis Ishti Adaini Vesbonai, right? I love my wife, my master, everything. He says, what happens? Loi Isha Ubanim. What happens if the servant has a wife and children? Okay? Meaning, he gave him a shiksa wife and he has kids. But Lirabe Ain Isha Ubanim. But the master doesn't have wife and kids. The din is Ein Nirtza, he cannot get pierced. Why not? Shenema, because it says, what does the Eved say? I love you. There's Beisach on your household. Who's the household? Wife and kids. The Torah doesn't say the Eved says, I love you. It says, I love you and your family. So if the guy has no family, then the Eved can't stay. What does the Torah say? In order to stay, the Eved has to say, I love you and your family. But if the guy has no family, how could he stay? What happens? The reverse. L'rabbi isho banim. The master has a family, but loy ain't isho banim. The servant doesn't have a goyish wife that he gave him. Ain't a nirtza, he also can't get pierced. Why not? Because it says, oh, hafti es adaini, es ishti, ves banai. What does the Eved say? I love my wife and the kids. But if he doesn't have a wife and kids, then how could he say it? So he can't be pierced. What happens? What happens if he loves his master, but the master doesn't like him? Ain't a nirtza. Again, he can't be nirtza. Why not? Shenama, because it says in the pasuk, Kitev loy. I know, we took away your seat. Kitev loy imach, it says, it has been good for him with you. Imach means with you. The same way it is with the master, that's the way it is with the Eved. Therefore, what does it mean? That if the guy loves the master, but the master doesn't like him, it's not imach. Imach means the same. So then he can't do it either. What happens? The master likes him. Middle of the page. Rabbi Oyavai, the master loves him. But he doesn't like his master. Ein a nirtza. He also can't get pierced. Why? Because it says, Ki aheivcha, the master likes you. I'm sorry, no, Ki aheivcha.
He likes the master, but the master doesn't like him.
Right. It has to be, he loves you. Right? So it has to be the same way. So the Gemara is putting a lot of conditions on an Eved becoming drilled to stay. Number one, has to say it twice at the beginning of the last hour, the end of the last hour. Plus, they both have to have wife and kids. They have to love each other. What happens? Hu chayla, but Rabbi ain't a chayla. What happens if the slave is ill, but not the master? Ain't a nirtza. Again, why? Ki tev lo imach. It says, he'll be good with you. That means it has to be good for with them. Together. Okay? Now, what happened? Okay. Why? Because the Torah says, no, we just said it. Rabbi Chayla Vuhu Eino. What happens if the master is sick, but the Eved isn't? Again, he can't be near to because it says, Tayv Lo Imach with you. It has to be equal. Okay? So this is the what?
So we are trying, we show that there is similarity in
the relationship between master and servant and servant and master. Yes. Here it is, right here.
But when we say Ishti and Banai on the master, the master we say that's his regular Jewish wife.
Right.
And for the slave, He's a Goyish wife and Goyish children.
Right.
So it's very...
Yeah, but just to say... Yeah, but the fact that the Torah says he can give him a wife, in that respect, it's a wife and a wife. Instead. But the Torah says, because it was good with you. If you're sick, it's not good for you. Right? So if the slave is sick, and the master isn't, it's not equal. And the same way, the reverse. If the master is sick and the Eved isn't, again, they're not equal.
Being sick doesn't mean that the guys are cold.
No. It's not the people that stand up for the Misha Berach list, no. Guy blows his nose, there 10 people make a Misha Berach for him. I'm joking. No, not that sick. Sick, that he wasn't able to work. Remember, we learned before in the Gemara, if the guy was sick for most of the time, if he has to make up the time or not. So much sick that he's not able to work. Okay, now, boy, Rav Bibi says an interesting question. What happens if they're both sick? So now they're equal. The master is sick and the slave is sick. So what's the shaila? Says like this. Imar be'inen. Do we say that the main thing is with you, that the master and the slave are equal? And there is. They're equal. They're both sick. Oy Dilma, do know, do we need ki tev lo imach, that the slave has to be good with the master, meaning he has to be excited about the work, and if he's sick, he can't be excited. For lack and there isn't. So the Gemara says, take or we don't know. Okay?
But if the master's sick, the slave can still work.
Yeah, but the Torah says they have, because it's good with him. That means there's the Torah is equating the master and the slave. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Son Rabban learned. Kitev la'imach. This Gemara was brought down, by the way, before. Okay? But the Gemara is bringing it down again. Because it's relevant to the psukim that we're learning. Son Rabban learned. Kitev la'imach. It says, the Eved says it was good with the master. Right? That means the master needs to treat him nicely. Right? It says, what does it mean with you? Imach b'maychol, imach b'mishta. The servant will be with you in food, and with you, meaning the master, in drink. Meaning, shleitehei ata echol pasnikir. The Torah says the master shouldn't be eating bread made out of fine flour, b'hu echol pas kebot, and he eats bread from junky flour. Ata sheisa yayin yoshin, you're drinking aged good wine, b'hu sheisa yayin chodesh, and he's drinking new wine, which is no good. At Yoshin Gabi Muchim, you're sleeping on a mattress. For Yoshin Gabi Tevin, and he is sleeping on straw. So the Torah says, interesting then, you buy an Eved Ivri, you have to treat him equal to the way you treat yourself. Mikan Omru, from here the Chachamim say, it's a very famous Gemara. Kolakena Eved Ivri, whoever buys a Jewish slave, is considered Kokena Odin La'atzme, as if he bought a master for himself. Now, huh?
A prince.
Now, what happens if he didn't? Can the slave take the master to Beis Din? What's the Torah say? You have good bread, give him good bread. You have a good mattress, give him a good mattress. Yeah? So what happens? The Me'iri discusses what happens if the master doesn't do that. He gives him not such good food, not such good bed. Can he take him to Beis Din and demand it? So the Me'iri, who's one of the Rishonim, says no. This is only ethical, proper behavior. But it's not collectible in Beis Din, so to speak. It's not enforceable in Beis Din. The servant does not possess the legal right to force the master in court to provide him with these things.
No,
he could bring your Beis Din to the house. Why not? So look, this is what I'm sleeping on. Take pictures.
So this is something for Hashem to enforce later on.
In other words, not all ethical things are enforceable in court. Not all ethical things are enforceable in court. For instance, the Gemara says, Zen nan nevezale chaser. If one benefits and the other one doesn't lose. Okay? In other words, if I can do something that will be beneficial for you, right? And I'm not losing by it.
Right, okay, there's no losing.
Okay? And I would, the Bezdin would force you to do it, because if not, they say you're like Zdom, like the people's Zdom. But that's only by Zen Nehene, if you're going to gain, and I'm not going to lose. But if I'm going to lose, even though it might be ethical for me to treat you like a match, but you can't force me because I'm losing. If the master, right, master to the slave. If the master is going to give him better bread is going to cost him more money.
Right.
So the Torah says, Kitav Lima, the proper behavior is to treat him like an equal. But if you don't, it's not enforceable. It's not, you can't say, well, you're not losing anything by it. The master is losing. If you have to give him better food and better beds, the master is losing money by it. You can't force him for that.
Mm-hmm. But that could be used as a scapegoat, you know, to not do anything for him.
No. The Torah says you have to treat him properly. You have to treat him properly. We're not talking about not giving him a bed at all. That he could force. We're talking about better quality stuff. Okay. So now the Gemara says another thing. Ton Rabbanan. So first the Gemara says, you buy a slave, you got to treat him equally to you. Right? Then the Gemara says, you're not even done with that yet. Ton Rabbanan learned. It says, V'yotze me'imach, the servant leaves you at Yovel, hu uvan of imei, him and his children. Now the Goyish kids that he produced don't leave. So whose children? His kids, the Jewish kids. So the Gemara says, since when did they become slaves? It says, you and your kids leave. Your kids were never slaves, you're a slave. Yeah. So what do you mean their kids are leaving? If they don't go in, you can't go out. What made them slaves? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shimon, Shimon Yochai said, Im hu nimkar, if the Eved was sold, banav ubnaisav mi nimkarim? How did the kids get slaves? What do you mean the kids stop being slaves at Yovel? Whoever made them slaves to begin with? What do you mean they go out? They go out from what? El Mikani says, Sherabi Chayiv b'mezein is bonav. When you buy a slave, if the guy has a wife and kids, you have to support them for the duration of the slavery. You know what that means? Not only do you have to treat the Eved as an equal, you have an obligation to support his wife and kids. Now you know why it's called buying a master?
Does the slave have to disclose how many kids he has?
No, it's the same thing. Kiyaytim b'dov ha'ta'imer, in a similar way, Rashbi says, it says in the Pasik, in Baal Ishahu, if he's a man that had a wife, then the master can give him a wife, and then v'yotzi ishta ime. Now again, it doesn't mean the shiksa stays forever as a slave. Amar Rav Shimon, so again, Rav Shimon says, im hu nimkad, ishte mi nimkad, whoever sold his wife into slavery. He was sold, what do you mean with the wife? Mikan, sharabei chayiv v'mezeinis ishte. From here the Torah teaches us, you gotta support the wife too. So Rav Shimon says two things. You need to support the wife, and you need to support the kids. One I learn out from one pasuk, one I learn out from another pasuk, right? So the Gemara is going to ask, why do I need two psukim? One for wife, one for kids. I mean, logically, it would be the same din.
Was it possible for him to come and live with the Eved, but not be an Eved to the master? So where are they going to live? A separate hotel room or outside?
No. It says, the children are in the master's domain insofar as provided for the duration of their father's term. So therefore, when the father goes out, the kids go out from being supported.
But they have the choice if they want to be there or not, right?
I don't know if they have to live in the house. He has an obligation to feed them.
Right, but they could stay in
a... I don't know if he has an obligation to house them. I don't think so.
Support, the father supports his housing.
Yeah, but I'm saying he doesn't have to sleep in his house. He can sleep somewhere else. They want a 5-star hotel, not a 3-star. So Gemara says, "Tzricha, I need both things: one about wife and one about children. Why? Di Ashmin and Bonov. If it would say that you'll have to only support the kids, you know why? I think because kids are little kids. How do you expect them to go work? Right. But the wife make her work, right? Like a widow. How does a widow support herself? She has to go work. So it sounds like this: if it would only say that you have to support the kids." I would think, you know why you have to support the kids? Mishum delei b'nei mavid o mechaninu. because they're not persons who could work and sustain themselves. They're kids. Aval ishtei the bas meichul umevedi, but a wife who's able to work, amen, I would think, tavid v'teichul, let her go work. So the Torah says, no. You have to support the wife. Yet if the Torah says only you have to support the wife, I wouldn't know the kids. Why? If the Torah says you have to support the wife, I would think, you know why? The lav dir kod lahaduri. Women don't go around begging. At least in the Gemara's time. Yeah. It was improper for women to go begging. So over there I would think, you know why the Torah says support the mother? What do you want her to do? Go beg? The kids, let them go beg. Avo bonov, but the kids, the darkayu lahaduri, they do go beg when they need. Emaloy, I would think that you don't have to support them. Tzrichav, we need both cases. So the Gemara says, bottom line, you need to support the wife, you need to support the kids, right? For the duration of the 6 years. So the Gemara says like this, you buy an Eved, you have to support him equally to you, but you can't force it in court. But the wife and the kids, you have a biblical obligation, you need to support them. And that, by the way, probably is enforceable in court. Because here we're not talking about better beds or junky food or better food. You don't. This is a portion of necessity.
You have to support her according to the life that she was living with her husband before that he became a...
Probably. No, if they lived like a queen.
Otherwise, it would have specified.
He stole and lost all his money.
Yeah. He was a well-to-do man.
And he lost all his money. He went to steal.
Yes. And his wife has lived a good life.
Yeah.
So
could be.
Yeah, so Rabbi, it would mean then just in the bare bones lifestyle, right? Otherwise,
yeah.
The Gemara would have said.
Probably have to pay basically basics.
Basics, yeah.
You know, color TV, internet,
Blackberry,
Blueberry,
hot tub.
You know, the works.
Yeah. High speed internet.
Chauffeured limousine, Bentley, Rolls limo.
Well, listen, isn't there a basis for that? If she grew up as a wealthy woman, you probably have to provide her that, don't you?
Listen, you hear about these big divorce cases. You know, the lady needs $400,000 a month to live.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, no.
She can't survive.
She can't survive less than that.
That's right.
Beauty
appointments alone.
It's true. Yeah.
It's not. It's you know what the problem is. It's not funny. It's
not
very
funny,
sad.
Right. It's sad. Even at that time, they go bankrupt too. And they're serious.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
He said he's not
bankrupt
in Torah.
No, he's talking about
actually.
Today.
Is the question valid though? If let's say the wife had the silver spoon in her mouth all her life. And they fell in hard times. He had to sell himself as a slave. Is the master obligated to provide her according to the way she used to live?
Well, when the Torah speaks about giving tzedakah, the Torah says, oh God, what's the lashon in the pasuk?
The percentages?
No. My mind went blank.
They machzeira
sheyachzeli. You have to give him. They machzeira. The amount that he's missing, Rashi says from the Gemara. Rashi Chumash says from the Gemara. Even Suslir Kavolov, the Eved Lordus Lefun. If a guy had a servant running before him and a horse, you have to give it. Avalat Iatav Mechuyev LaAshirei. You don't have to make him rich, but you need to give him Nosin Titin Lei, and the Day Machseira Sheyachselei. You have to give him what he was accustomed to. Now, does the master have to give this wife and kids what they're... I don't know.
But he has to support
them. He has to support them.
When he buys...
Memela, when the Eved goes out,
yeah.
That's what the Torah says, V'yotze ishtei. Or, V'hu yotze hu ubanov.
Uh-huh.
Because now they do leave the master's domain of support. Not physically the domain, but he was supporting them. Now they go out, he doesn't support them anymore.
When a master buys a slave, he knows what kind of family he has back there.
By Yiddish slave, by the way, yeah, they did. Because the din was, in the olden times, you used to have slave blocks, you know, where they would Like the marketplace where he sold slaves. An eved ivri is not allowed to be sold on a market slave block. It had to be sold with dignity. So the guy knew the family. I mean, it wasn't Sami found a slave in the street and they're selling him, auctioning a slave. They knew who it was because you couldn't buy him from a slave block.
Probably did it out of pity.
Sometimes he did it out of pity. Sometimes he did it because they needed a slave, a servant.
Interesting.
And sometimes he wanted to have to give birth to slaves that are not so stupid. So he wanted a Yiddish man, at least 50% chance it should be intelligent. They have smarter slaves. But sometimes smart slaves are not so good.
No. No. Find ways to get,
like when you have a housekeeper, sometimes when they're not so smart, you're better off. Okay, Tan Rabban, Rabban alert. Next page. Ilu Namar Chubezo Midbeis. To the page. Ilu Namar Oznoi Badeles. The Torah says like this. But of the lakarta samartzea va'oz nasato ba'oznei ubadelis. Okay, it says ubadelis, meaning put it through his ear onto the door. Right, so it says like this: if the Torah would have said oznei badelis hayisa emer, I would say, what does the pasuk mean? Yitka keneged oznei badelis. The master should be bore the hole next to his ear into the door. In other words, if the Torah said, "Ven oznei badelis," bore his ear in the door, I would think means like this: you don't touch his ear; you put his ear next to the door, and you make a hole in the door. That's what I would think.
You make a hole in the door.
Yeah, that's what I would think. If the Torah, the Torah doesn't say, but it says, "Be oznei ubadelis." So Gemara says like this: if it didn't say "be," if it would say "oznei badelis," means bore a hole next to his ear into the door. That's what I would mean if the pasuk said that. So it says, "Delas ain." So right away, Gemara asks, "Delas ain oznei lei?" What do you mean? Only in the door, not the ear?
Yeah.
What do you mean? No. V'ksiv ratza adainov as oznei b'marzea. Another pasuk says you actually pierce the ear. So what do you mean? Not the ear, only the door. And it means like this. I would say, if the Torah said oznoi badelis, I would think it means like this. Yitzana la'eza mi'abroi. The master should pierce the servant's ear while he's outside, meaning not near the door. Then v'yenicheu ala delis. Put the ear on the door and make a hole next to the ear in the door. That means the Marshall's like this. I would think the pasuk means like this. One pasuk said you have to bore his ear. To that, that's a given. But Torah said, badalis, into the door. So I would think it means like this. First, you bore a hole in his ear. Remember, we learned the argument if it's here or the cartilage, the two opinions. So first, you make a hole in the ear, and then you put the guy's ear next to the door, and you make a hole in the door next to the ear.
You don't even put anything through the ear to into the door.
But no, the Gemara says, if this is what the Torah is, if the Torah would have said a different wording, that's what it would have meant.
So you know, you'd actually do both of
them. One second. Talmud Lamer said the Torah says, Ba'oznai ubadelis, through his ear into the door. Okay, so what does it mean? It means like this. Doike v'helich, you bore a hole in the ear, achimagia eitzel adelis, until it comes to the door. Meaning, what the Torah says like this. When you say bore an ear, you can make a tiny hole. Let's say it's a half an inch wide, right? Let's say it's less. But I mean, so I would think you make a half an inch hole, a quarter of an inch hole. Torah says no. What you need to do, but oznei ubadalis means you put his ear near the door, and you have to bore through the ear until you hit the door.
Until you hit the door, make sure it's all the way.
It doesn't have to go into the door,
right?
Make sure that it's,
now, what I don't understand, how does it work if you're doing the cartilage?
You.
That means you go through the whole head?
Oh, there you go.
No, it can't be.
No, you just put the ear out, I guess, like this. Yeah.
That's a tricky thing.
This is when he becomes the slave.
when he, well, if he wants to stay as a slave.
Right.
If he wants to stay.
Oh, this is that Yovel.
If he wants to stay after 6 years, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
If he says, "I like to be here," you know, forever.
Life, though,
yeah. He just wants to hang around.
Wow.
Yeah, listen, some people like the benefits, you know.
Okay, now it says like this. The Torah says you have to put it badalis near the door. Now, does it mean the door is loose door, tied door, up door, down door? What does it mean? What type of door? It says, if it says Dallas, Shemayani, I would think it means Bein Akura, Bein Chein Akura, whether the door is connected to the wall or not. There's still a door. Talmud Leimer Mezuzah. What does the Torah say? The Torah says,
I would say it has to be a real door because otherwise it would say a wood.
The Torah says the word mezuzah over there in the Chumash. It says like this: Tamalei mezuzah, ma mezuzah meumad. Just like a mezuzah is upright by definition, the doorpost, which is the definition, upright. Is upright.
Yeah.
Avdalis nami mu'umid, the dalis also has to be standing upright, meaning needs to be connected to their house.
A working door.
A working door, yeah. So we hinged on to the door, the house that it works. Then the Gemara says like this. Rabbi Yechim and Zakai, these two things Rashi brings on the Chumash. Rabbi Yechim and Zakai, he a mikra zekim in chaymer. Chaymer, Rashi says, means a precious stone. Okay? Or Taisus brings down from Rabbeinu Chananel that it means like perfume. Okay, basically he says like this: Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai would learn this pasuk either like a precious stone or like a perfume, meaning he learned it beautifully. What does it mean? He says, "Man ishtana eizem mikol evarim shebeguf." He says, like, let's understand. The Torah says the Evan wants to stay longer. He pierces his ears. Why? Why does the ear? Why not the nose? Why not the hand? What's the ear? So he says, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hashem said like this, Bashar Eizen Sheshama Keilel Har Sinai, the ear that heard on Har Sinai, Bashar Shamati, when I said, Kili B'nei Yisrael Avodim, the Jews are my slaves, and not slaves to slaves. And yet this guy went, V'kona Odon L'atzmei, he bought himself a master, meaning, the fact that he wants to stay longer, yeah. Now he's willingly doing it. So in other words, when he first sold his, the guy has no money. He stole, he can't pay back. Okay, he can't tell you the ear that heard, don't be a slave. This guy heard at Har Sinai, you're my slave. And this guy said, no, I want to be somebody else's slave. That ear that heard that deserves to be pierced.
I have a question for you. So, you can wear earrings, you can wear a thing in your ears today?
Can you or should you?
It's not a sword.
Women or men?
Men, that's what I'm talking about.
In the olden times, they wore.
Who said they, now, why can they wear them now?
What's the problem with men wearing earrings today?
Yeah,
it's a woman. It's a woman's clothing.
Mm-hmm. You could argue that.
If most of the men in the world will start wearing earrings, then the issue.
Not earrings like diamonds or whatever they put in the ears. You see what they put in the ears today?
But you know, in the time of the Mishka, in the Midbar, the men wore earrings.
Yeah.
It says in Chumash.
So who stopped the rabbi?
But that's a pierce. That's not
in
Kisisa.
I understand that.
No, 1 second. By the eagle, right?
Okay, but I understand that.
One second.
One second.
No, it says Parukunizme is of Hashem Basin Yeshechem. Take off the earrings from your wife's ears. What does it say? Vayisparkolam as nizmei hanov al shebaznehem. The men took off the rings that were on their ears, meaning the earrings.
They had nose rings also.
Okay. Right. So obviously they were wearing.
At that time,
it wasn't a problem.
So who made it? So who forbid it? What? How long ago did they forbid the men wear earrings?
When men stopped wearing earrings, I don't know when it was.
We don't look in hopes. We don't look good in hopes.
Huh?
You only see it on Hollywood Boulevard now.
Why you not watching a lot of people there with all kind of crap?
That was a style.
Yeah, those are the ones in the parades.
Okay, but that's relative to the times. Anyway, that's what Rabbi Yechman Zakeh said. Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi also learned this pasuk, also like a dime or the like jewelry or like a perfume. And he said like this. Okay, Rabbi Yechman Zakeh said, why you pierce the ears? Okay, Rashi brings down, by the way, another opinion that the Gemara here doesn't say. But in the Medrash it says that the ear that heard and Har Sinai, don't steal,
yes,
and he stole, yes, he should also be pierced. Okay, but Rav Shimon ben Yochai said, something this, man ishtana delas u'mezuzah mikol kem shabbais. Okay, we know now the ear. But why by the door? Do it by the wall. Do it by the bookcase. Why up is by a door? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Delas and Mezuzah. The door and the mezuzah were witnesses in Egypt. Bishop Psach, the Alamashke Valshteya Mezuzah, when Hashem, by the firstborn, right, jumped over the doorways.
Passed over.
And he said, in that pasuk, Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim. That the Jews are my slaves and not slaves to other slaves. And I took them out from slavery to freedom. Hashem said to be my slaves. Mm-hmm. And this guy went and bought a master, so to speak. He deserves to be pierced where? By the door and the mezuzah that testified that Hashem took the Jews out of Egypt.
Well, not the one who bought the
man,
the one who was bought.
Right. Yeah. So the Gemara learns both things. The Gemara explains, Rabbi Yechon Zaki explains why the ear, and Rabbi Shimon explains why the door. Now, Taisus has an interesting thing. If you see the second Taisus on top, Manishtana Eisen, Taisus says, Yesh b'medrish, the Medrish says like this, the Marzeya, Taisus now explains why a drill. She says, because Marzeya equals 400. Memresh Sadik Ayin equals 400. And the Jews were supposed to be enslaved 400 years. Right? And this guy went and bought himself a nut. So says, so therefore, pierced with a Marzeya, even though the Gemara said before anything, right? Klal Prato Klal, or Ribuy Miyat Ribuy. Nevertheless, the Gemara Taisus explains in the Medrash, that's where you use the drill. So the Gemara explains the whole thing. Why you use the ear, why you do the door, and why you use the drill.
Marzeya means drill.
Yeah.
What is the rabbi? Is it the earlobe or is it the actual cartilage?
Two opinions.
Oh.
When they say drill, by the way, what was the kind of drill they used back then? What did this look like?
You know,
actually. What
exactly is it? Could it be like a needle or what is it?
No.
It has to be something that actually dug?
In English, by the way, he doesn't call it a drill, he calls it an awl.
Oh, okay, so it's like a stick. It's like a sharp stick. It's a sharp stick.
Remember, Gemara said before you could even do it with a needle or a wooden thing.
You can.
According to one opinion, the other opinion says it has to be metal.
Okay. But a drill is a specific way.
I know you don't.
It doesn't mean that.
It's not like you drill a hole in the wall.
It's like really painful.
Piercing.
And all is like, piercing, yeah, like that toothpick or something.
But what about
piercing? It's over quick. A drill is.
Huh?
What do you just put a needle in there?
Something like a needle.
Like they do when they put a
sharp stick.
Yes.
That's an awl.
Oh, God.
Oh, sharp stick.
Does not hurt?
A spear.
They didn't have a battery operated drill.
No, just use a sword.
Literally, Matzeya in modern Hebrew is translated as a drill. But the ear is taught at all. But the Gemara says any sharp thing that pierces the ears, according to one opinion, it has to be metal. According to the other opinions, it could be anything.
Was that 2 years or just 1 year?
1 year. Osnoi.
Okay.
The right ear.
Right ear.
No, Mar said before, we learned out the right ear.
Did they have a way of numbing it, or they could actually hurt? Did they have a numbing?
Precious stones.
No, the Mar said he interpreted the pasuk like a precious stone. I mean, very beautifully.
Oh, that a stone should go in there?
Yeah. Another thing he says, it's used figurative to convey the precious nature of Rabbi Yechman Zaki's teaching. Okay, now we're going to Eved Kanani. We finished Eved Ivri. Now the Mishnah is starting the din of an Eved Kanani. Eved Kanani is, you buy a Goyish slave, he's forever. His kids stay, you got him forever. Okay?
Eved Ivri just means that.
6 years and that's it. Unless you want to stay longer, you pierce his ear and he stays 2 years.
6 years, that's it?
That's it.
Unless you decide on a 1055 if you want to stay. Another 6 years, right?
1055?
Well, yeah,
oh, yeah, 1055, yeah. I thought you meant a form called 1055 income tax.
I W-2, 1099.
Okay, now the question is like this. In the previous Mishnah, the Mishnah said, which is a while ago, how you acquire an Eved Ivri. Come with these gemaras, you have to turn about 30 pages.
How did they acquire
it? Huh? Because we're talking about the kinyanim of people. First, the gemara talks about the kedushin, the kinyan of a woman. Okay. Here it says like this. In the Mishnah, Yudalad Amid Beis, Eved Ivri. Now we're going to start Eved Kanani. Eved Ivri, Yukaina, Bekesef, and Shtar. You buy him? Or you write a document that he's my Eved. Okay. Here, Eved Kanani is kind of with one more way. You could do it with money, shtar document, or chazaka. Chazaka means you do something to the Eved, I mean you make him do something for you that shows a sign of ownership and that he is your slave. Okay? Now, here brings down to the bottom, just to explain the din, even though it's not relevant to the Gemara here at all, but the din is like this. An Eved Kanani is a goy. Yeah. He's a mamash a goy. Yeah. The din is, you buy him, if he's male, because you can buy Shifcha Kananis too, the shiksa, you give him a bris.
Really?
Throw him into the mikveh.
It has to be?
Yeah.
Well, the, what's the purpose?
So 1 minute.
Against his will.
No. That's the same thing. That's not relevant to Agamar at all. No. 1 second. Hello. Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. It's not relevant to the Gemara here. That's not Chazaka. Chazaka means you make him work. That shows ownership. When you buy a field, by the way, an Eved Kanani is acquired just like land is. How do you acquire land? Money. Deed. Yeah. Or chazaka. What does chazaka mean? You do something in the field that shows ownership. You put a fence around it. You dig a hole in the ground. I can't dig a hole in your land, but if I'm digging a hole in my land, it shows that I own it. So that's.
No one came to contest that why you put a fence here or whatever.
So no, we're talking if I sell you the land. Nobody's saying anything. I sell you the land. How does it legally become yours?
So even after you pay money, you got to do that.
No. One of the three. Either money,
I see.
Or document. I write you a deed that I'm selling you or giving you the land. Or I tell you, Lech Chazaku Kni, go make a Chazaka. Okay? No money's even changing hand.
So I say or don't say, and people see you digging in my field. And if I never came.
No, if the seller contests it and says, hey, what are you doing in my field? So
then there is an issue.
There's an issue, but he has to prove that he bought it. There's two things. There's acquiring something, and then there's the proof of ownership. Okay? If I want to buy your land, and I give you a dollar, and you accept the dollar, halachically, the land is mine. The problem is, I don't have any proof of it yet. Unless if two Eidim watched. Right? In other words, the kinyan is done. Kesef, shtar, or chazaka. The same thing with an Eved. Okay? If I come to you and say, you have a piece of property, a house, it doesn't matter, any land. Okay? Say, sell me your land. No problem. $10,000. Fine. I give you a dollar. Not as the price of the value, as the kinyan. You accept the dollar, the land is now mine. If the land goes down, All of a sudden, earthquake comes and psh, grabs the whole thing out. The buyer's tough luck.
You lost the buck.
You lost the dollar.
No.
You
lost the field. And you owe the seller $10,000. No, $999, whatever. $9,999. Okay? What happens after the dollar is given? The seller says, oh, I changed my mind. A guy comes and says, oh, I'll give you $20,000. It's okay, the deal's off. It's too late. Deal is done. We'll start by hand over the document of the deed, or I write, I'm selling you this land. How do I prove it? That's a separate issue. I need proof. Like any time, I lend you money.
You take two witnesses with you.
Right, you write it. But there's a kinyan, and then there's raya, it's called. The proof. The kinyan is a kinyan. So Eved Ivri is acquired by Kesef Ishtar. Eved Kanani, the Gemara says, is acquired like land. Now, in passing, he brings it out the bar. I don't know why he brings it down, but just stop to discuss the din of an Eved Kanani. When I buy an Eved Kanani from the slave block, I take David to my house. I say, okay, guess what? Bris time. After bris time, mikveh time. David goes. He is
David by now.
He is now partially Jewish.
That's how you're making you slave. You drive crazy first.
No. Well, 1 second. Officially, you do it right away.
It's your property now.
Yeah, but he's obligated, all the mitzvahs women are obligated in. Does he ever see in the mission, Noshim and Avodim, Shulchan Aruch says, the women can't stand this. Noshim and Avodim, women and slaves?
Yeah.
It's not negative. It's speaking over there about a Goyish slave, not a Yiddish slave. Yiddish slave is a full-fledged Jew.
So it's very negative.
Noshim and Avodim, an Eved, after the bris and the mikveh, if it's a woman, mikveh only, obviously. So then they become obligated in all the mitzvahs like women. If, for whatever reason it is, the Eved goes out free, they become a full-fledged Jew.
Why the bris, though?
Because he's becoming partially Jewish.
I mean, is that like...
any excuse for a Kiddush?
No.
All your
No. Yeah.
That's what I
can... Yeah. And in fact, the halacha is very interesting. What happens if you buy a slave a day old? You do a bris that day. No 8 days.
No, the day
you buy an Eved, the Torah says, Rashi says in the Chumash. Rashi says in Chumash, in Lech Lech over there, when Hashem told Avram that. You buy an Eved, the day you buy him, no matter what age he is, bris. Now, what happens if Eved says, hey, I ain't doing it? What happens if Eved says, I ain't doing it? So the Rambam says in the Gemara, you negotiate for a year.
Mm-hmm.
You have a year to negotiate. At the end of the year, the Eved said, I ain't doing it. You got to let him go. So why would a normal Eved want that? Because the truth is, this is my understanding, the Jewish owners treated the slaves much nicer than the other people did. So he'd rather be working for a Jew than for somebody else.
When he leaves, he would...
He'd be Jewish, right?
He's full Jewish.
But the Jew is taking a chance because if he doesn't want to...
Correct.
But then they let him go if he doesn't want to...
But in those days, I don't think it was such a common thing that the slave didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
It didn't sound like it was a very common thing.
But to become more prominent in the eyes of the owner once they do that. They become like the Jewish slave.
Yeah, but still, it's not...
They say,
the mitzvahs
like women.
Like women,
they
need
to like
Shabbos candles.
But what does it mean?
Yeah. The Gemara tells a famous story. To show how important davening with a minion. The Gemara says Rabbi Lazard came into shul to daven with his eved, with his goyish eved, and there were 9 people in the shul. There was no minion. He freed a slave. Now he became a full-fledged Jew. And but interesting, Shulchan Aruch it says. Shulchan Aruch, I'm pretty sure it says in Shulchan Aruch that after you free him, he has to go to the mikveh again.
What?
To finalize the... Because now he becomes a full-fledged Jew.
And if he doesn't?
No, he's still a Jew. It's not ma'akev. It says the second mikveh is not ma'akev. L'chatchili, you put him into the mikveh.
He really wanted that minyan formed.
Yeah, you see how important davening with a minyan is.
So after you give the Gentile a bris, then you have to start treating him as well as you treat yourself.
That's no, that's story. Only Eved Ivri.
Only
I mean, B'chlal, it's not a mitzvah to be cruel to anybody.
No, I'm not saying he should be cruel. No,
that's what I'm saying. You don't have to treat him like you treat a Jewish slave. It's not the same, no. No. Okay, what?
On Shabbos, when it says, Avdecha v'amatcha v'imtecha.
Avdecha, Rashi says, Eved Kanani. Eved Ivri is a Jew. You don't have to say you and your slave. He's a Jew anyway.
So it's a good strategy.
You avdecha v'amasecha, he's a goyish slave and a goyish maidservant. The Torah says they have to keep Shabbos.
It could also be a Jewish slave.
Yeah, but the Torah doesn't have to say avdecha because he's a full-fledged Jew. What do you mean you and your slave? He's a Jew.
It's better for him to wait a year, not take it, go out as a full Jew, get another master, and then they have to treat him just like themselves.
No, but he's not a Jew. How is he a Jew?
So what do you call a Jew?
No, because you say when he leaves, he becomes...
He's called Eved Ivri, but he's a full-fledged... He's obligated in all the mitzvahs like everybody.
Like the women.
No, Eved Ivri is like a Jew. I mean, Eved...
After
everything. No!
Eved Ivri!
Eved Ivri is a full-fledged Jew. The Torah doesn't have to say your Eved has to keep Shabbos. He's a Jew. Avdecha means... When the Torah says Avdecha has to keep Shabbos, it means a goyish slave.
Oh, and he only becomes a full Jew after the bris and after he's out completely.
No. When he does a bris and mikveh, he's obligated in all the mitzvahs women have to keep.
Right, but when do you say he's a full-fledged Jew?
When he's freed for whatever reason it
after
is.
After he first gets the bris and becomes
a Jew. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That could be 50 years later.
Wow.
Well, at that time, does he work forever or just 6 years?
No, ever.
No.
When is it going to stay?
If you knock out his eye, his tooth, his... Okay. Or you free him.
So if you don't free him, and you...
Well, man, this Mishnah is going to talk about Kainas Atzmi. That's what the Mishnah is talking about here.
We studied that. If you knocked his eye out or something...
That's in Chumash, yeah.
You have to let him go free.
Yeah.
You don't want to ever say to that kind of a slave, keep an eye out for
him. No, the Gemara says, if David Kanani was not to learn, and he wanted to go out free, and his master says he was a dentist, he says, I have a toothache, can you pull out my tooth? If the master pulls it out, he goes free.
Even if he asked him to pull it
out? Yep.
Do not brush with Chris.
No, you and Mama's God free. Okay, you know what? We're going to meet to Shem next week. We'll start the mission again.
Thank you.